And if you've never dedicated your child to the Lord, I don't care if they're 12 years old, we can dedicate them. Just let us know. And we'd be honored to do that. There we go. That's better. I was having to bend over to preach this morning. You'll open your Bibles with me to Acts 28:1. We're going to get started this morning. And we're going to be reading from Acts 27 and Acts 28 this morning. I've entitled my message today, Snake and Shake. And so I got a revelation. I heard a similar message in the past few weeks by a friend of mine, and it touched my heart. And I just wanted to share some things with you this morning that have been on my heart in the last week. And I think you'll enjoy it. So Acts 28:1 says, after we were brought safely through, we learned that the island was called Malta. So what Paul's saying here is, after my shipwreck, after we swam on shore, God gave me a revelation that the island we're on is called Malta. And he wasn't planning on going to Malta. How many know sometimes we end up places we don't plan on going? You ever done that? My dad's the world's worst about this, but you'll get in a truck with him all of a sudden, you're like, this isn't where we're going. He goes, I seen a sign the other day that said there was a historical monument over here, and he's got to go find it and read it. I'm like, Dad, I really don't have time for this today. And you know, it's easy when we're going through life to say, I ain't got time, I ain't got no time for this. Y'all remember that news brief where they're interviewing the lady and she goes, I ain't got no time for this. And I think Paul probably felt that way. Lord, I ain't got no time for this. But after all, he was already a captive. He was already in chains. He's already on a boat outside of what his will really was. And he's being taken to Rome to see Caesar. And he feels like he's been falsely accused. In fact, the Romans imprison him. They interview him. And they're like, there's nothing that this guy's guilty of. We're going to let him go. And then the Jews said, no, he's guilty of this, this, and this. And because of the Jewish people, they decide, well, there's no fair way to do this. The guy's really not guilty. So we're going to imprison him, put him on a boat, and we're going to ship him to Rome, and we'll let him talk to Caesar there. And so he's on this ship, and he's on this journey to go to Rome. In the middle of this trip, all of a sudden he goes through a storm, and it takes the ship backwards. Then there's another storm, takes the ship to the left, another storm takes it to the right, and he goes through all these storms, and all of a sudden he ends up shipwrecked. Anybody feel like you don't know where you're going sometimes? Feel like you're a little lost? This is Paul's world, and all of a sudden he's shipwrecked. And he says, the native people, they showed us unusual kindness. These are barbarians, by the way. For they kindled a fire and they welcomed us all. He's probably thinking, are they trying to get us warm or are they trying to cook us? I'm just being real. It said they kindled a fire and they welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and it was cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks, in other words, they kindled the fire, but Paul's building it. A viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer. They immediately judged him because of the circumstances he was going through. You ever been judged because of the circumstances you've gone through that may have not been your fault? People have talked about you. People have said things about you. None of it was really your fault. They just can't help themselves. And so they immediately judged Paul and said, this man's a murderer, and though he has escaped from the sea, in other words, he survived a shipwreck, justice has not allowed him to live. Because they're like, we just saw what snake bit him. He's dead. He's dead, but they didn't know Paul, and they didn't know the God that Paul knew. He, however, shook the creature off into the fire that he was building and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune come to him, they changed their minds and saw that he was a god, which he wasn't, but he just served the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He knew who his God was. And now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island. The chief of the island, his name was Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitably for 3 days. And it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed and put his hands on him and healed him. And when he had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. And they also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed for our journey. After 3 months, we set sail on a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day we came to Puteoli. And there we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days, and so we came to Rome. I want to talk about one of the greatest survival stories in all of the Bible, of a place where a man ends up where he wasn't destined to go. But sometimes your destination is not yours, it's God's. Sometimes God puts you exactly where He needs you to be. And the truth is, you were built for this. You were built to survive the storm. In Acts 27:22, it says, "Not one of you will be lost, only the ship will be destroyed." Paul tells the guys on the ship, look, ship's going to be destroyed, but not one of you are going to be lost. He prophesies that the ship's going to go down. He prophesies that they're going to be shipwrecked. The Holy Spirit already told him something. And then he tells the guys, hey, go and eat a meal. Eat a meal because you haven't eaten several days, because they were rationing their food because they're on a ship and there's nowhere to get any more food. And so they're rationing their food and they hadn't eaten several days. He said, you're going to need your strength, you're going to need your energy, and all the rations are about to go down in the water anyway. Eat. You know, sometimes when you're in the midst of a storm, it's just good to sit down and eat. He tells them to eat, so they all eat. Then the next thing you know, they're all swimming for their lives. They hit a reef, the boat shipwrecks, the boat's in a million pieces. And they're right in the middle of one of the worst storms they've ever been in. But you know, there's a key about storms I want you to get today. If you're taking notes, this is a good thing to write down. Storms are the X-ray of your soul. They don't define you. They reveal you. See, because it's not what you're in, but it's what's in you. Jesus in the boat means the boat is not going down. You think you survived the wreck, but the wreck wasn't survival. The wreck was actually arrival. See, it wasn't about Paul's survival. It was about his arrival to the destination that God wanted him to be. Some of you are thinking, I don't understand why I'm stuck at this job, or I don't understand why I'm stuck in this place in my life. I don't understand how I got to where I'm at, but I'm in a place I really don't want to be. And God's like, no, you're right in the right place at the right time, right where I need you to be. See, Paul's shipwreck wasn't about Paul. It was about God needed to do something in Malta. And then Paul goes on to lead half the Roman Empire to the Lord. But he had to go to Malta first. See, God knew there was a destination of where he needed to go. And the king sent word before him, before he even got to Rome, about what Paul had done for them. The king's dad's laying on a bed. He's sick and he's dying. There's people on this island that are sick and dying. There's people probably in the place that you're stuck that are sick and dying, and you don't know where they're going. And they need you to be you. Not to be in survival mode, but to be in arrival mode. It's time for us as the church to get out of survival mode and walk into arrival mode, that God brought us to the place that we're at for such a time as this. That God has called us to more than what we could ever imagine, what we could ever dream of. God has called you to something bigger and to better. He's just waiting on you to quit thinking that you survived and to realize that He put you where you're at and that you've arrived. That greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the God that we serve. Paul was in a storm because it was the will of God. And God always preserves the mission, not the method. He'll let the boat break to reveal the purpose that he has for your life. Sometimes we're too dependent on the boat. And we're too dependent on the things that are carrying us to where we're going. And it's not about our comfort. It's not about being carried. But it's about finding out what God has for our life and where he wants us to go. See, God will break apart the things that you're trusting in that aren't him. Think about this. The storm hits. The boat breaks apart. Acts 28:2 says, they showed us unusual kindness. Paul gathered a pile of brushwood. See, Paul didn't wait around. He built a fire. He wasn't sitting on the beach freezing cold and just waiting for somebody to do it for him. He wasn't saying, woe is me. Paul was building a fire. It's time for us as the church to not worry about the wrecks that have happened in our life, to take the ship that has fallen apart and realize that God provided the wood for the next season that you're about to walk into. He grabs the wood. He walks over to build a fire. And as he gets close to the heat, a viper comes out. I want you to know that the fire in your life will reveal the vipers that are in your life. Not everybody is your friend. It'll reveal the vipers in your life. And they bite Paul. It bites Paul. And he shakes it off into the fire. And then they judge him and say, oh, he's a murderer. He's done this. He's done that. See, it doesn't matter what people are saying about you. It only matters what God says about you. It only matters that you're appointed. It only matters that you're anointed. It only matters that God has a call in your life. And he'll put you anywhere that he needs you to be. We need to realize it's about us serving. It doesn't matter where we're located or where we're at. It's how can we serve those people. And sometimes it's the people we have the biggest problem with at work is the reason God has us there. Or in our life. I've had people leave church, well, I don't like a certain person. Well, maybe you were there for that person. Or were you serving them? Were you loving them? Were you praying for them? It's hard to be mad at people when you're doing all these things. So Paul builds a fire. The wood came from the shipwreck. Learn how to build your next season from the wreck others thought would destroy you. See, when you build something, that's when the enemy's exposed. He was building a fire. When you start building something in your life, the enemy's always going to attack whatever you're building. I'm going to tell you, from the first day I got here in Angleton and started to build this church, I've been attacked every single day, because anytime you're building something, God's going to attack you. Start building something. You want to see where the vipers are? You want to see what's going on? Build a fire and build something and see what God doesn't do. He'll do it. He'll take care of the issues that are in your life. He built a fire. Snake didn't show up in the cold. It came out in the fire. Vipers are flushed out by fire. And don't let the bite that you receive in life define you. Paul was bitten. They thought it was the judgment of God. Sometimes it's the things in your life that you get judged on that separate your enemies from your friends. They misjudged the miracle because of broken theology. They, in their minds, their concept, their reality, was that a viper bite is the end of your life. For some people, for you in your life, it might be the situation you came out. Maybe it was the needle you were sticking in your arm. Maybe it was the things that were going on in your life. And people said, well, they're over. They're done. They didn't know you served a God, and then all of a sudden there was redemption in your story. Or you found Jesus in a new way, and you decided to move out of that way of life into a new way of life. They looked at the bite as the judgment of God. Your pain will be misinterpreted by those with broken theology and vision. And the truth is, you control me, but don't roll me, because God's hand is on my life. They looked at the bite as the judgment of God. Their opinion has nothing to do with the call of God that's on your life or on my life. Their opinion really doesn't matter. The only opinion that matters is God's opinion. They waited for him to die. They're watching him just saying, well, he should die at any minute now. Their 10 minutes has gone by. Paul should be dead now. And they're sitting there watching on the clock. I bet they're probably placing bets on whether he's going to survive or not. Think he's going to make it? He got bit. It's been a bad day in his life. He got shipwrecked and bit in the same day. How many of y'all can say that? You ever been shipwrecked and bit in the same? Now, my dad in his life has crashed 3 airplanes, and he's still alive. My grandmother always said his death would be spectacular. But he just keeps going. He blew himself up in his deer camper and keeps going. I think I'm joking about that. He had a little propane Mr. Buddy heater. Put it in the corner of his camper and had the propane bottle in the camper with him. And the propane bottle, he didn't realize it was leaking all night long. And it formed a cloud above the bottom of the camper. And he walked in there. He woke up and was cold. And went over, he said he was going to light him a fire. He got him a helicopter ride. He pushed the button, and the whole camper imploded into a million pieces with him in it. And the guys at the deer lease, they covered him up, put the fire out, drove him to Woodville. They put him on a chopper. He was life flighted to Galveston. The doctor came out from Galveston and said, I got a 40-year-old man right over here that was burnt, not as bad as your father. And he just died today. Your dad's not going to make it. I'm like, that man's crashed 3 airplanes. He's totaled out 14 cars. He was in a coma at the age of 18 from a motorcycle. You don't know that man. You can't kill him. And the doctor said, well, I hope you're right. And I said, plus that, you don't know the God that he serves. You don't know what's inside of him. And my dad's still walking, talking, breathing, doing everything he's ever done. And crazy and hard-headed as ever. Fallen year, he had a new camper and he was deer hunting again. A year later. But the deal is, it's about not giving up and realizing that though you walk through hard places in your life, though you walk through difficult spaces in your life, though this season feels like it's almost impossible to get through, that you're walking through in your life, that God always has a plan. And He always covers you, and He'll take what looks like a wreck and He'll help you build a fire. And then as you're building the fire, even when the vipers strike at you, you can throw them off into the fire and they won't harm you. Why? Because He covers you. That's the God that we serve. You know, there's two kinds of ways that the snake attacks. There's the python that tries to squeeze the life out of you. We call it the spirit of the python. It'll try to squeeze the life out of you. It's just a constant battle that you feel like you're in, like you just can't win. And then there's the spirit of the viper. The viper is poisonous. It always goes straight after your heart. The poison does. It goes straight to the heart. And it's heartbreak and it's heartache. The enemy wants to attack your heart. Why? Because that's where Jesus resides. He wants to attack your heart. Why? Because it's the core of who you are. The enemy will always try. Look at what they did to Paul. They're talking about him. They're saying he's a murderer. He can hear him speaking. He's the one writing this. He hears them. The enemy was trying not only to just abide him, but to strike him at his heart that I'm going to take you out. The enemy will tell you he's going to take you out, but God has other plans, and the only plans that matter are God's plans. Don't listen to the enemy. The problem we got is we get bit by the snake and then we want to talk to it. Learn a lesson from this today. Paul didn't just get bit, he shook it off. It was snake and shake. He didn't talk to it. We look at Eve, he learned a lesson from Eve. Look at this. Look at the book of Genesis. We got Eve, and she's in the garden. And it says that her and Adam had dominion over every animal of the field. Every animal, every creature, they had complete dominion and authority of. And she listens and allows something that she has dominion over to speak into her life. The problem is we let things that shouldn't speak into our life speak into our life, and we talk back to them. They have no room in our life. Paul didn't talk to the snake. He threw it off into the fire that he had built in his life. The deal is, you want snakes to come out? You want to be able to get rid of them? They'll be consumed by the same fire that God is building inside of you. The things in the areas that you're fighting in your life, revival fire will consume and get rid of in your life. The deal is, it's about time as a church we build a fire in our spirit, in our soul, with who God is, and we don't worry about the snakes in life. We don't worry about the people talking about us in life. Instead, we shake it off into the fire and we walk into what God's called us to do. Because greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I don't have to worry about the snake. He already gave me victory over it. He took back the dominion that Eve gave the enemy and gave it back to me. Why would I give it back to the enemy? The only dominion the enemy has over you is the dominion you allow it to have in your life. I'm not going to allow what the naysayers and the people in my life have said about me to affect me, because only God gets to do that. Only He speaks into who I am. And as far as you, you need to look in the mirror and say, there's no devil in hell that can stop me, because God has appointed me, anointed me, and called me for such a time as this. Don't pet the poison in your life. And don't counsel what should be crushed. Shake it off. Don't carry it with you. Kill it. The problem is, we want to carry around the pains of the past. The things that have bitten us, the things that have affected us, the things that went straight to our heart and wanted to end us. We want to carry it around. We want to talk about it. We want to be in it. And I'm preaching to myself today too. But the truth is, we got to light the fire, let the fire expose and let the fire elevate. It says in Acts 28, 5 and 6, He suffered no ill effects. The truth is, the fire separates the wheat from the tares, and it reveals what is real. My flame is a result of my fight. Think about it. Paul built a fire because of the fight he'd just been through. He was freezing cold. Hypothermia was probably setting in. It said it was a northeastern that had caused the shipwreck. It was a cold wind. It was cold weather. And it was raining. And he was miserable. And he throws the pain of his wreck, and he throws it on the fire and lets the fire consume it to give him the heat that he needs to go on. The flame is a result of my fight. And sometimes you don't understand my fire because you can't understand my fight. People are going to want your fire, but they can't survive the cold that you've been through. Truth is, you got to teach them how to build their own fire. And the size of my flame can't be understood by someone who don't understand the winter that I've walked through in my life. Snake was already there. Think about it. The snake was already there waiting on him. The fire just exposed it. There's snakes in your life that have been hanging out, been wanting to take you out. And when you get fire, it'll expose them and it'll get rid of them out of your life. See, your anointing is not in the talent. It's not a talent that God gives you. Your anointing is built by God, and it's built by the things that you survived. The fire that reveals is also the one that kills the enemy. God's called you to survive. And the truth is, venom cannot override the vision that God has placed in your heart and in your life. And the bite can't override the blood. See, what they didn't know is Paul didn't have regular blood running through his veins that venom could penetrate. Paul had the blood of Christ running through his veins that gave him authority and gave him total victory. And then we see everyone on the island that was sick get healed. But it had to start with Paul and Paul's heart. The truth is, there's people in your life that need healing. There's people in your life that need freedom. They're just waiting for you to start a fire in your heart that'll consume everything that's not of God. Paul came in as a prisoner to this island, but left as a prophet and a healer. The wreck wasn't punishment. It was preparation. And you didn't know even the barbarians that you think you're, that are in your life, they can be a blessing when God tells them to be. The truth is, you're here for a reason. God put you here on this day for a reason. He's created you to be an overcomer. And we see Paul, he ends up in Acts 28:14, right where he initially was supposed to go. He ends up in Rome. It didn't derail him. The storm didn't stop the mission. It just revealed the man that was on the mission. And the truth is, I want you to recap this today as our team comes up. The enemy will always bite builders, not spectators. Build a fire that can't be quenched. Build a fire that'll consume all the snakes in your life. And build a fire that everyone else can see so that you can help them. And don't speak to things you should be shaking off. God's given you dominion. He's given you authority. He's given you power. It's about time as the church we stand up and do what God's called us to do. You need to realize, I'm going to give you some declarations for your life today as you stand with me. These are declarations you can say over your life every morning, over the next week, and declarations you can speak into your life. You're not just a survivor. You're a sign from God. My fight, my storm, and my wreck is what birthed my flame. And I'm going to shake off every lie, every label, and every limitation that anyone tries to put on my life. I'm not going to allow things to attach to me. I'm going to shake them off. The only thing that gets attached to me is God Himself. And what tried to kill me only revealed the fact that I am called, I am anointed, and I am appointed by the Most High. Speak those things over your life, that God called you. I don't care what your week has looked like. I don't care what your month has looked like. I don't care what the last 10 years has looked like. God has a plan for your life. And just like I said last week, it's not like being in a regular battle. Your victory starts with surrender. Your victory starts with surrender. It's about saying, God, I don't want to be in control. I need you in control. Why was Paul able to be victorious and lead people to Jesus on the island? Because he didn't complain about being wrecked. Instead, he built a fire out of it. Why did people get healed? Because the fire came and then he got bit. He could have whined about the bite. He could have died from the bite, but he didn't. He shook it off. And what happened was everybody looked and it became a testimony about how great his God was. And they wanted what he had because there's no way he should have survived what the enemy had thrown at him. And I'm going to tell you, if you're in this place today or you're watching at home, you've survived. And not only have you survived, but if you got Jesus in your heart, you've arrived and He's going to take you to new destinations and new places. He's just waiting on us to step up and to step out in what He's called us to do. He doesn't just want to work in us. He wants to work through us. And today is your day. If you're at home today or you're sitting in this place and you don't know who my Jesus is, you've never asked Him into your heart, and you've been fighting struggles and you need some victory in your life, today can be your day just by asking Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Maybe you've got some, maybe you're saved and you've had some battles going in your life and you just need victory. Come up here and grab a prayer partner as they come this morning and link up with them and let them pray and believe with you. I'm going to tell you, I was at camp meeting in Ocean Springs, Missouri this past week, and I was standing in the mirror and I've been fighting this. I have a big scar here from skin cancer. I've been fighting all these things, and so I get these little things on my face, and they got to burn them off or cut them out. And this week I had one that was bad. I knew it was going to be cut out, and I was just looking in the mirror and said, you know, God, I know you can heal me. And I just grabbed it. I got an edge on it. I ripped it off. I said, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I ain't going to fight no more. I want to tell you what, it's gone this morning. I ain't seen a trace of it. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just got to take authority over things in your life. Sometimes you got to take authority over your life. and say, the devil doesn't get to say who I am. I say who I am. I get to claim the victory that God's given me. And if you need some victory in your life, you need God to do something in your life, today's your day, and it starts with asking Him into your heart. And so if that's you today, with every eye closed, every head bowed, I just want you to say this prayer today. Say, Jesus, I need you. I know you're real. I admit I'm a sinner. Take all the bites and all the things out of my life this morning. I believe you died and rose again. And because you live, I can live. Not just a partway life, but a redeemed, restored, victorious life. So I ask you today, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. I confess you as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, maybe you need healing in your body this morning. Maybe you just need to shake some things off in the altar of God this morning. You just need God to do something fresh and new in your life. That's the kind of God that we serve. He's just waiting on you to take a step this morning. Take a step into what God has and have victory in your life. We love you. Sing with us as we go today. If you need to be dismissed, you can be dismissed. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday. Don't miss next Sunday. We're probably going to go into the book of Revelation. So, Father, we just thank you for this day and what you've done. Seal it in our hearts and let us go in victory. In Jesus' name, amen.